How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Yes, you're alive. Good. I want to say welcome to everyone that's out on the patio and in the lobby and online, as well as in this room. It's just so good to be together. My name is Jody Hickerson. I'm one of the pastors on staff around this place. And man, I am so excited for all of the things that Jim was just up here, you know, talking about in this season that we're in as a church and where we're heading as a church together. Launching Mission Oxnard in just 4 weeks, okay? 4 weeks till the launch of Mission Oxnard. And that is so exciting. And it's a part of this county vision, you know, already planning for Ojai in 2022, because God is leading us to put down roots in different communities, the way that we've put down roots here in Ventura, to be able to bring light and hope in the name of Jesus and real help in the communities where we've put down roots. And so I really want to encourage you, as Jim was talking, to be praying through your financial commitment to fund this vision as well, like our family is doing, because this is the thing. We get to be a part of this. Like, Commitment Sunday on October 10th is going to be really special. It's going to be a marking moment where we all get to say, man, we are a part of this. We're in with this. We get to be a part of the way God is moving and what God is going to do. And what I've seen over and over and over again is, as we do participate, which that's the goal, right? 100% participation, that we all link arms and we're all in this together. What I've seen God do over and over again is more than we could ever ask, dream, or imagine. Like, what we place in the hands of God, he multiplies and he brings so much good. And then what he does in our hearts along the way is just incredible. So it's a win-win, and I'm stoked for all of us to be on this journey together. And to help us and remind us and challenge and inspire us on this journey, we're in a series that we kicked off last week, our mission's 10th birthday, called Just Getting Started. And what we're doing in this series is we're rewinding in history. And we're looking at when the church, like the first church, the early church, first began, which is recorded in the book of Acts, in the New Testament of our Bibles. And we're looking at, specifically in Acts chapter 2, how it started then. And what did they do then? And how did God move then? And what can we learn 2,000 years later as this continuation of the movement that swept the world? And we kicked off last week with a message from Mike and Jim, and it was entitled, We're Not Drunk. So if you weren't here last week, you may need a little context for that. In Acts chapter 2, when the church gets started, the Spirit of God shows up and it empowers these followers of Jesus. And it was crazy. They begin to tell the story and the hope of Jesus, but everyone there could hear in their native language as these guys were talking, like, how is this happening? What's going on? And some people literally said, I just think they've had too much wine. And the disciples are like, no, it's only 9 a.m. Like, we're not drunk. We're not crazy. God is doing something. God is speaking to your hearts in the supernatural way. And sometimes in seasons like this, like as a church, as a community, as a family, when we're following God's leading and launching campuses and raising funds and giving sacrificially, you know, while we're in the middle of a pandemic and things aren't back to the way that they were, it can look a little crazy. Every time we step out in faith, trusting God with the unknown, we can look a little crazy. But just like in Acts chapter 2, you know, we're not crazy, we're not drunk. It's God that's moving, and we're trusting him and relying on his faithfulness. Next week, we're going to look at exactly how the people in the early church lived their lives and how still today, this is how we do it. For all of you 90s fans, this is how we do it. That's where we're going next week. And then on October 10th, which is Commitment Sunday, we're going to wrap up this study of Acts chapter 2 with the best kind of math. Because at the end of Acts chapter 2, it says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, and that is the best kind of math. But today we're going to look at this middle portion of Acts chapter 2 where the Spirit of God showed up and people responded, and that's because people need Jesus. It was true then, and it's true today. I've lived 41, almost 42 years, and I believe now more than I ever have for myself, for my family, for my friends, for this city, for this county, for the world, I believe now more than I ever have that people need Jesus, that I need Jesus, that we need Jesus, And my prayer today is that your heart would resonate with that and he would meet you right where you're at. But to kind of set this up in Acts chapter 2, Jesus has been crucified. He's been killed and buried and then raised from the dead, resurrected with all of these witnesses, and he ascends into heaven and he promises to leave the gift of the Holy Spirit to reside within those who follow Jesus to empower and comfort and direct and guide and convict and prompt and lead them. And so there's this huge crowd of people here, and the Holy Spirit does come and empower these disciples, and they're able to speak in all of these languages. People are like, what is going on? How is this happening? And one of the disciples, one of these followers of Jesus named Peter, gets up and he addresses the crowd. Which, by the way, this is a miracle in itself, because if you read the biographies of Jesus' life, Peter's the guy that's always putting his foot in his mouth, right? And now he's the one that's about to speak on behalf of God. He was a former fisherman, you know, described as an ordinary, uneducated man. He's actually just been through a massive failure, and yet God is using him. And that's because there's hope for every single one of us. This is what he gets up and says in Acts, starting in verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 32. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. He says, you may have thought he was dead, but he's not. He is alive. He is risen. We all saw it. And he is still working right now through his Spirit. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're hearing. That's what you're experiencing. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. So here's what we see happening in these 19 verses as the early church, as the first church is just getting started. We see that the Spirit of God was moving. Like something supernatural was happening. God was stirring up something. Something was happening that couldn't be explained. It was just a God thing. His Spirit was moving. Then we see the good news got shared. Right? And what the good news means, it's where we get our word for gospel. Like maybe you've heard a gospel choir or about a gospel preacher, or how the first four books of the New Testament, the biographies of Jesus' life, are called the gospels. And that's because gospel means good news. Gospel is the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and what that means for our past, our present, and our future. It's the good news. And clearly, that's what Peter stands up and says. He's like, y'all need Jesus, and let me tell you about him, and let me tell you the good news. And it says people were cut to the heart. That's what it says. Something happened in the hearts of people that day as they heard the good news of Jesus, and they ask, what shall we do? Like, we hear you. We actually believe you. What do we do? How do we respond? God is piercing our hearts. And then an invitation was offered. The people asked, what do we do? And Peter said, repent, like turn from your ways and be baptized, surrender, every single one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the response was surrender. 3,000 people accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior that day and were baptized, and the church began. And I'm guessing Peter, he had no idea in that moment, 2,000 years later, there'd be churches all over the world gathering today but God knew. And we're just getting started. So here's where I want us to lean in today, is that this is not just a story of what happened. This is what's happening among us. This is not only a story of what God did. This is a continuation of what God is still doing. Because the Spirit of God, just like in Acts 2, the Spirit of God is still moving. I got to hear several stories this week from all kinds of people here at Mission of how they're seeing God move, and it was incredible. People that are finding freedom, people that are getting clean and sober, families that are coming together, opportunities that God is opening, prayers that are being answered. I mean, make no mistake, God is moving. He's still moving. And I know that, man, the last year and a half have been so difficult for so many of us. And so many of us think, I don't know where God is moving. I can't see God moving. Because there are so many stories also of isolation and sickness and hardship and fractured families and faith crisis and mental health struggles and relapse. And maybe that's where you are today. I just want you to know, I want us to know that God is not done. He still moves. He is still moving. He is still good. He is still able. He is still for you. He is still with you. He still loves you. And what I know is when the Spirit of God moves like he did in Acts chapter 2, when all of this got started, when the Spirit of God moves, it's to draw people to himself, to call people to him or call people back to him, literally speaking the language of all of our hearts so that we would run to him. And we are so convinced that the Spirit of God is moving Mission to put down roots in Oxnard and Ojai for such a time as this, because he's already opening doors, already making a way, already providing, and I believe already preparing the hearts of people, some that we're praying for and that we know, and some that we may never meet, to come experience the life and freedom that he offers. Spirit of God is still moving. He's also still moving here. Not just in new locations and new ventures, but here in this room, here in the lobby, here online, here out on the patio, the Spirit of God is here and moving, and he's drawing our hearts back to him. You may not even know why you showed up today, or why you logged on today, or why you keep showing up, but God does, and he is drawing your heart to him. It is no accident. Spirit of God is still moving, and the good news is still good news. And we are so bombarded with bad news all the time, aren't we? I mean, terrible headlines and tragedy and violence and division and on and on. And listen, those things are real, and we're not meant to overlook them or look away. In fact, if you are a follower of Jesus, we're called to lean in and bring light and hope and compassion and be peacemakers in our world. Because with all of the bad news, we've got some good news. And the good news is still good news. You see, here at Mission, Jesus will always be the lead story. Jesus will always be the headline. And the good news of his life, death, and resurrection, it means hope for everyone. Hope for every situation, hope for every kid, hope for every family, hope for change, hope for the future, hope for restoration, hope that tells us that this life is not all there is, hope for a forever home in heaven someday where every agony, every abuse, every pain, every heartbreak, every injustice, every loss will be made right. The good news is still good news. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it or deserve it or strive for it. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That's good news. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's kind of bad news, right? Like we can't earn our way to God. But the good news is, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin, and people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. That's what we all deserve. Good news, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Bad news, Romans 3:20, no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands, because the law simply shows us how sinful we are. It just shows us how much we've messed up. But the good news is, now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are, no matter who we are. Do you need this good news today, that God showed how much he loves us by sending his one and only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. The good news is still good news. It's good news. And the reason why we're saying 10 years in that we're just getting started is because there are people in Ventura, in Oxnard, in Ojai, all over this county that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There is a world of people hurting, searching, starving, confused, addicted, and alone. There is a world of hate and anger and racism and poverty and imprisonment and violence and families broken and torn apart and abuse has come and abandonment and bitterness and resentment, and we have a living hope. We have some good news. We know the Savior of the world. And rescued people help rescue people. And saved people point people to their Savior. The good news is still good news, and Jesus is still after our hearts. In Acts chapter 2, it says when the good news got shared, it says that when the people heard it, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? I mean, I love this because this has been my experience. And it's my absolute favorite thing to see in the lives of others, when the good news really pierces our hearts. And just a side note, it should pierce our hearts again and again as we come back to how good it is. If the good news has become old news for you, know today that in his love, Jesus is after recapturing your heart. Something happened for these people in this moment when the church began. It was a first moment of faith. They listened and something happened in their hearts. They understood something that they hadn't before. Belief showed up. It's like this light bulb moment that Jesus really was who he said he was. He was really from God. And they were cut to the heart, recognizing, oh my goodness, this really is true. And this was really God's plan. And he did it for me. And Jesus died for me. And the good news is for me. And Jesus is still after our hearts, all hearts. And when the Spirit of God is moving, and the good news gets shared and it locks into a human heart, listen, something happens. Sometimes it's unexplainable, but it's also undeniable. And by faith, we are believing that there are going to be so many light bulb moments all over this county of people putting their faith in Jesus, being cut to the heart and believing that he really is who he says he is, and he really will do all that he's promised to do. But I also know that that moment may be here and now today for you. Because you know that the Spirit of God is moving and his good news is piercing your heart. It's because he's still doing this. Believe in faith, because this is still the best invitation. When the people asked, what do we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what we do when we believe. Repent, which is an old military term for doing an about face, right? It's turning away from one way of living and turning towards a new way, deciding to turn and walk God's way, to really surrender and to be baptized. Like, go public with it. Go all in with it. That's what we do when we believe. And here's what God does. We do this and we get the forgiveness of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness, clean slate, new life, and the Holy Spirit now to empower us, convict us, comfort us, lead us, and never leave us. And listen, this is for everyone. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is still the best invitation because it's the best trade. We trade old life for new life, death for resurrection, independence for real power, shame for forgiveness, despair for hope, defeat for victory, and it's all because Jesus traded his life for yours. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Spirit of God is still moving, and the good news is still good news. Jesus is still after our hearts. It's still the best invitation, and surrender is still our response. Sometimes we think about surrender in like a negative way. You know, like surrender is when you give up or you tap out or you're waving the white flag, you know? But in this kind of surrender, when we choose to surrender to the leadership of Jesus, we have so much to gain. The true definition of surrender is to relinquish control to someone else. And I love that definition because it describes that there's a choice of the person surrendering to give up control. Surrender isn't a forced act. It's not a mindless act. It is a conscious choice to let go and give the leadership to someone else, someone who is stronger, wiser, more capable, and more powerful than you and me. And surrender isn't a one-time thing. We keep surrendering as we follow Jesus, but man, today, as we get ready to celebrate baptisms together, I just believe that as the Spirit of God is moving, I want you to know that surrender is still the response. And that this is where baptism comes in. Like this is where we go public with our faith. It's burying the old you and coming up new. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a water grave. It's a marking moment. And listen, it's not the end of a journey. It's the beginning of a journey of a life with Jesus when we believe and we place our faith in him. And listen, man, we got people signed up at every service today to go public with their faith in Jesus Christ and start walking a new way. And man, if you're making that decision today, we can't wait to celebrate with you. And listen, church, as people go public with their faith, we're gonna go crazy. No golf claps. We're going to go crazy. This is a big celebration. This is a marking moment. This is new life. This is resurrection. This is the good news being lived out, and we're going to celebrate with people today. But man, if you are here today, or you're out in the lobby right now, or you're out on the patio right now, or you're online right now, and you are just sensing the Spirit of God moving, you're feeling cut to the heart today, know that this invitation is for you. Even if you weren't planning on it, we got everything that you need today. As we stand and worship and celebrate, you can just head right back to that back corner door, and there are changing stations, and there are board shorts, and there are t-shirts, and there are towels, and there are awesome people that would love to pray with you and talk with you. Man, if the Spirit of God is drawing you back to him, just make your way back there. And surrender today. Surrender is still the response. I just want you to know that you're invited to do that, and we would love, love to celebrate with you. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, and it's a simple prayer, but it's a prayer that has been prayed for thousands of years by people clutching Bibles in hospital rooms, by people standing in trenches in war, by people's bedsides on their knees and in churches all around the world. And if you're ready today to make this decision to surrender to Jesus and start following him, to accept that this good news is good news for you, I just invite you to pray this prayer with me. let's all bow our heads. God, I know I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself, redeem myself. But I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, and that you sent him, and that you still rescue and restore. I pray today, God, that we would invite you into our hearts, and that many today would accept you as your Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.